Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and this is the desire episode of Office Hours. I'm looking for people that have a desire that they must be what they can be. They don't listen to what other people think. And talking about desire, we have three amazing co-hosts here today with me, all having that common denominator of desire that they must be what they can be. Even though people have laughed at all of us, scoffed at all of us, made fun of all of us, they now applaud at least all of you. Madeline, Hunter, and David, thank you for co-hosting this edition with me.
Thank you for having us.
Let's go.
All right. Speaking of let's go, every once in a while, you meet someone, regardless of their age, their background, and you just know that you have spent time with them, whether it's a past life or in some metaphysical way, because there is a love, a bond. And this next guest is someone that I admire so much. There's no doubt that if my 14-year-old son would follow the footsteps of this young man, not just on the field, but especially off the field, it would be someone like our next guest, Austin Eckler, the amazing running back for the Washington Commanders, founder of Experience with a K, and needless to say, one of my favorite friends and my son's best friend. Austin Eckler, welcome to Office Hours.
I appreciate that intro. It's great to be back on, great to be around some amazing faces, so I'm looking forward to this episode.
Well, you know, I got to ask you, working in the business of football, it obviously has prepared you for rejection of entrepreneurship. And I see so many parallels in your sports career that you have in entrepreneurship. But before I get to any of the entrepreneurial questions that are, you know, burning in my head, I have to ask you, how are you feeling about your new quarterback? I thought it was an extraordinary pick. You must be super excited.
Yeah, you know, I've been through a rookie quarterback before with Justin Herbert, and it's the same scenario, really. For me, anyway, as a leader on the football team, it's okay, let's continue to establish the culture and the standard with the team that's currently there. And then all of these new guys that come in, we'll bring them in open arms, and hopefully they're willing to, you know, encompass and put themselves into that and live up to our standards. So we'll bring Jaden in. We'll welcome him with open arms, and looking forward to him throwing me the ball, handing it off to me as well, and hoping he's just ready to compete and go win some games.
What's so interesting, too, is when you entered the league as a Los Angeles Charger, you weren't even supposed to make the practice squad, and you end up being an all-pro, an all-star, an amazing leader. But it wasn't set up for you to be a leader. You were a surprise leader. Now you're in Washington, and I think it more mirrors what you're doing off the field because you're expected to build the culture. You're expected to be the leader. They brought you in early so that you can inspire people with what you've learned, the mindset, the heart set, and the handset that has made you one of the strongest players in the league today. You do the same thing off the field. This late in your career in football, what do you find more challenging? Being that type of leader in an organization like the Washington Commanders, or in being a leader in Experience, your company?
I think, you know, David, this is how I see it. I think we build ourselves up. We build our capabilities up to be ready to take on the next opportunity. And when you do that, it doesn't seem as intimidating as it might seem when you just started, when you get to, if you're looking at someone who's further down the road or looking at myself now compared to what I was doing before. So really, this just seems like the next step for me. And so that's how I feel about it. I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be because I have the capabilities, because I've built myself up to be able to take this step. And so I'm in a situation where they're both hard. They're both hard because I'm pushing myself. And I'm looking forward to that because I know it's going to lead to more opportunities and the expansion of my capabilities even further. And so in the business world, in the locker room, you know, just in my, you know, relationship with Melanie, my fiance, like it's all an opportunity to continue to push, but it's all something that I'm able to build myself up into. So I would say it's all challenging in its own way. And I invite that.
Amazing. Hi, Austin. My name is Madeline Ritchie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Great to meet you.
Good to meet you too. So I love your foundation, what it stands for.
Yes.
So I have a question. So how do you measure the impact of your foundation And how do you ensure that it is going to be sustainable long term?
Yeah, amazing question. So how I have been measuring impact, and it really comes back to where I find fulfillment, is pushing myself and then having that gravitate to people around me in a positive direction that helps them in some sort of fashion. And so I've had that philosophy for myself and implemented that into my foundation. Let's put resources into the community and have those help people be a better version of themselves. So whether there's a lacking resource, for instance, like washers and dryers out in Watts, California, the number two reason kids weren't going to elementary school in that region was not, they didn't have clean clothes because they didn't wash and dryers, low-income housing. So we put washers and dryers. One that's near and dear to me that teaches a lot of transferable skills in the future is the weight room. So renovating weight rooms so people can get in there. Hunter showed up to one of those, gave an amazing speech for Long Beach Poly that we did out in California. And so how is it sustainable? Well, it comes down to me continuing to build a narrative around, hey, this is important. Why are we giving back these resources? Well, we're giving it back to fill a deficiency within the community. And so it takes people to help people, and I'm in a position where I want to help. And so that's how it'll be sustained. And that's how it's measured as far as the impact.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, Edge. What's going on, brother?
There he is. Hey, you're looking, you can grow the hair back out?
Yes, bro. Come on now. Hey, you're looking good in red.
I'm just curious.
Hey, before we just shower each other in all the compliments, it's so good to see you again. And before we hop on the episode, of course, David Led was saying we must be what we can be. We must be what we can be. And I think at the professional level, the details, that's where the separation is, if you will.
Yeah.
Before we hopped on air, you said we were talking about how it takes a village to be successful. And then you changed village to neighborhood. Mm. There's a difference there. That's the detail. So what is the difference for you? And how do you lead that difference from a village to really making it a neighborhood?
Ooh, great question. That's deep. That's deep. And actually, I was introduced to the concept of the neighborhood when I actually met David and was going to some of his dinners that he had going on. And I really loved the concept that they called themselves like the neighborhood. And it was because in the neighborhood, like you're a little bit closer than you are in a village where, you know, there's enough resources around, but you got to go seek those out. In the neighborhood, when I see you, I know you, I recognize you. You're a little one step closer than the village level. And what's really cool about the neighborhood level is you can bring people into the neighborhood. So there might be new faces. And when you bring someone into the neighborhood now, okay, you have been vetted out by the other neighbors around us. And so now you are welcomed in open arms. And usually it's a great conversation to have. And it's really interesting people that are part of the neighborhood, as opposed to maybe the village take, where it's like you have a lot of people that you know, and I still have a village. I think we all to some sort have a village around us, but it's one step further out. It's not as intimate. It's not as connected. I'm not maybe golfing like I am with you guys, you know, on the regular. And so that's how I would see it. And I love the neighborhood aspect. And I think it's something that everyone should continue to kind of grow, because it's more than just, yeah, I have connections. It's actually like, hey, I know your family. I love checking in with you. We might not talk for even a month or two, but when we pick it back up, like it's a full emotional experience where you're so excited. It is genuine. And you're just like, it's like you never even missed a beat. And so that's the neighborhood that I love to be in. And that's why I love being around people like yourselves, David, and the rest of the group that he's brought in and continues to keep up with everyone. So that would be how I would define the neighborhood as opposed to the village.
Man,
we love to play snake in our neighborhood. I'm like an afford to play snake all the time in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Which is a golf game, by the way, in case you need to know.
Right,
don't three putt. Yeah, don't be the last to miss it either.
You're the best, brother. Talk to you again, Tim. Pass
it on. Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today. My name is David Williams. And the question I have for you, I believe in life, there's two different types of moments, right? There's the inconsequential moments. Sometimes a lot of people get caught up into those inconsequential moments, sweat the small stuff, that miss the big opportunities. And then there's those defining moments, the ones that shape and shift the trajectory of our life forever. It's when preparedness meets opportunity. So I'm curious, what is the one single defining moment that stands out that's the most memorable to you? It shifted and shaped your career and allowed it to take off at a level that you never expected.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the inconsequential moments are the most crucial moments, because they actually do have consequences. Like they're actually there, right? And so it's like those are your habits, and those build and they snowball in either direction, right? The theory, you know, Einstein said it, you know, it's like the fourth wonder of the world is compounding interest. And it's very true in it. And you can define it in a lot of different ways, but the meaning can really set you up for success or dramatic failure. Really, you can't, it's hard to really stay stagnant. If you're staying stagnant, you're falling behind. And so for me, it has always been about continuing to push myself, but I didn't realize this at a young age. I learned how to work hard. I learned what hard work meant. I learned what being efficient was. And I was in an environment in the manual labor field, building barbed wire fences, but also in all of my sports and stuff like that. And so what really was transferable from those types of environments was continuing to push myself and continuing to have a desire to be a better version of yourself and try to be better than you were last year. And so accumulation of those experiences and applying those in different ways in my life, my education, my sports, in the weight room, how I took care of the animals at home, you know, pushed me into a position where I continued to get better. I continued to get smarter, faster, stronger. All of these different skills started to build up. And then all of a sudden I get paid out when, hey, school's over, get an opportunity to go play in college, get an opportunity to get my education. So it hasn't been like a really single defining moment. It's been a ton of really micro decisions and micro things that I live by that I've accumulated that seem from the outside like a big difference between like high school and college, but I'm still the same individual with just a new opportunity that I've applying the same type of mindset and standard to. And so, it's a continuation of building up. And you know this, you know, anyone that's gone through and been successful in their state has had to build it up and be a pro at it to some extent. And being a pro means so much, and it means a lot of hard work and practice. So it's no different, but it just shows, there's milestones that you hit along the way, you know.
So I love that. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
You know, what's amazing, David, is I built the Office Hours platform, and we have a digital platform that's done daily. And then we have, of course, the TV show, the streaming show that we're on, and it's thousands. There's been 430 some interviews in six seasons. We've had 605 episodes digitally with an average of four guests on each of those. So it's thousands of interviews. And this platform was to create a platform that was engaging and allows, you know, fans that want to host with me, with celebrities like Austin and many other, to create relationships, unique and meaningful relationships. And so when I met Austin and saw and knew his story from an athletic perspective, being a former agent and a market guy of sports, to find out that the experience that he has, his business, outdid and amplified what we tried to do on Office Hours, because it wasn't just the co-hosts that got to have the unique and meaningful experiences like we have at the dinners and everywhere, but he really allows to amplify that in a platform with his platform for everyone, anyone that wants to have a unique and meaningful experience with someone, a mentor. And I will tell you, as a father, to have the opportunity for my son to have a unique and meaningful experience with someone like Austin Eckler, it changes. It's just one person. And sometimes, you know, it makes a difference. In the old days, I remember when Evander Holyfield did a PSA, it's a public service announcement. He did a PSA that said, you know, real men don't hit women. And it was amazing the impact it had on young people, you know, because it was Evander Holyfield. So when someone, your children or a fan has a unique and meaningful experience with someone who was six on the depth chart, didn't quit, and nobody thought would even make the team, who now is the first pick at everyone's fantasy draft and led the Los Angeles Chargers as a leader in the locker room and on the field, and now is building a unique culture that hopefully I will get to see the Washington Commanders and the Los Angeles Chargers in a Super Bowl. Because if I get to see that game, I cannot lose as a fan. Because it'll be the best game I ever watched.
That's your dream scenario.
I'll be rooting at every play. I'm like, sure. People are looking at me like, what's your problem? Every play, you can't cheer for every play. I go, yes, I can with those two teams. Right. And when you're with Austin Eckler, you cheer every single play. And check out Experience if you want a unique and meaningful experience for your family, friends, and community to have that type of relationship that will change your life. If you want your kids, your family, your friends to have a desire that they must be what you can be, then you got to follow my man, Austin Eckler, my friend. I consider him family. Congratulations on your wedding. I cannot wait to share in that as well.
It's coming up soon. Thank you.
The incredible Austin Eckler here on Office Hours.